live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a County Donegal man has tragically died following a drowning incident in Greece. Letterkenny University Hospital is advising people presenting to the emergency department this evening they're currently experiencing very long wait times. PAYE workers are being encouraged to see if they're entitled to a tax refund. Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson says urgent action is necessary to address the issue of mass evictions in the private rental sector. The numbers on the live register fell slightly last month compared to June. And a Donegal councillor says while the counties receive the largest funding allocation in the LAS scheme in the country, the amount isn't enough. Later in the bulletin, Daniel's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the tragic death of a Donegal man who has died following a drowning incident in Greece. The man in his late 50s, who is from Lifford originally, was on a family holiday. The Department of Foreign Affairs is providing consular assistance to the man's family. Letterkenny University Hospital is advising people attending the emergency department this evening they're currently experiencing very long wait times. There were above average attendances at the emergency department at the weekend. 124 people presented yesterday, 151 on Saturday. Soilta says meanwhile the hospital continues to be impacted by COVID-19. As of 8 last night there were 27 patients in the hospital with COVID. The pressure on bed availability has resulted in very high numbers of people waiting on trolleys in the emergency department who need to be admitted for ongoing treatment. Management say every effort is being made to discharge patients who are ready to go home so the beds will become available for those who need them. The hospital says it's committed to treating everyone who presents at the emergency department, but they're urging anyone who is not seriously injured or ill to attend their GP out-of-hours service or their GP in normal surgery hours, if at all possible. They say those who are seriously injured or ill will be assessed and treated as a priority. PAYE workers are being encouraged to see if they're entitled to a tax refund. Up to €620 million in overpaid tax has yet to be claimed from revenue. Taxback.com says the money dates back to 2019 and it estimates a surplus of up to €300 million was recorded for last year alone. The value of tax refunds has increased by 74% between 2020 and 2021 to an average refund of €1,880. Certified financial planner with Ask Paul, Anya Cullen, says people can still claim their tax refund online through revenue.ie.
There's a little bit of prep work in terms of needing to keep receipts. What we would recommend is, especially for things like medical receipts, tuition receipts, if you email them to yourself and just keep them in one central location, it's really easy when you come to do your tax returns every year to find them. So again, there's about 3 out of 4 Irish people that are actually eligible for a tax rebate.
Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson says urgent action must be taken to address the issue of mass evictions in the private rental sector. According to figures published today by the Residential Tenancies Board, there has been a 56% increase in termination notices issued in the first 6 months of the year. The RTB says this is because many landlords in the private rental sector are leaving the market to sell their properties, taking advantage of current high property prices. Well, speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show, the Sinn Féin housing spokesperson Ona Brin said measures such as a ban on evictions must now be considered by the government.
In the last year, we've seen a 100% increase in notices to quit being issued by landlords, and the vast majority of those are for sale of property. What we understand is happening is look, there are some landlords out there who never wanted to be landlords. These are people who got trapped in negative equity, and now that obviously house prices are high, they're selling up. We have other landlords out there who were never really in the game for the rental yield. They wanted a pension lump sum at the end. They're also cashing in because of the high prices. And then there are also other landlords out there who, for a variety of other reasons, have decided to sell. The problem is, because government has not been delivering an adequate volume of social or affordable homes, then these families getting notices to quit have nowhere to go, whether they're social housing applicants or families who just want to be able to rent or buy affordably. They are being stuck, and that is one of the reasons why homelessness has reached historically high levels, and unfortunately, on the basis of these figures, is going to continue to trend upwards.
Right, I mean, obviously, and if there was a government rep on this call, they would say they have a plan. I think it's 18,000 affordable rental properties by 2030, and we'll see if that pans out. And short-term options as well. You wouldn't compel people to keep property, would you? So what would the plan be? What would your plan be, the immediate sort of plan to fix the problem right now?
So we absolutely do need an emergency response, and I've written to Dara O'Brien, first of all, asking him to convene an emergency meeting this month. At that meeting should be representatives of landlords and tenants' organisations, the Residential Tenancies Board and opposition housing spokespeople. And the idea would be, among all the stakeholders, agree a crisis intervention plan. Crucially, what we need is this. We need a stable private rental sector that supports good tenants and good landlords, that gives tenants security and affordability, and also makes legally compliant landlords able to make a fair return on their investment.
That was Eoin O'Brien there speaking on today's 9 till noon show. Don't forget, of course, you can watch the whole of the 9 till noon show on our Facebook and YouTube channels, or you can listen back to a podcast of the 9 till noon show on our website, highlandradio.com. Expats aiming to return to Ireland are a major reason why more homes are being sold for over €1 million, according to an auctioneer. Donegal, Wicklow, Dublin, Cork and Limerick are among the counties where homes have been sold for seven figures in the first half of the year. According to the Irish Independent today, analysis found 178 homes in total went for over €1 million in the first 6 months of 2022. That compared to 129 in the same period last year, five of those in Donegal. Cork-based auctioneer Joanna Murphy says some expats are looking at buying property to rent out before they return home.
If I'm selling to, let's say, an expat who's been living abroad, right, and they'll say, right, Joanna, I want to buy this property in Cove, but I'm not ready to come home just yet, so I'm going to buy the property. Can you rent it out for me for a couple of years, maybe 3 or 4 years, until such time as I come back? Absolutely. And then you have the other scenario where you have people living in big cities, they're busy, they want a better quality of life.
The burden of new Brexit regulations impacted more than half of Irish enterprises in 2020. That was one of the findings of the latest Global Value Chains survey. The survey monitors enterprises' economic globalisation and provides indicators and statistics on international trade and the sourcing of supplies. It also found 40% of enterprises had difficulty sourcing raw materials from suppliers abroad as a result of COVID-19. The number of people on the live register fell slightly last month compared to June. Adjusted for the summer season, CSO figures show 183,300 people were on the live register in July, down by just over 1,000. There were a number of Ukrainian people on the register for the first time during that period, as Tom Douglas now reports.
The number of people coming from Ukraine on the live register went up nearly 2,800 month to month to a total of over 9,900. Ukrainian refugees are entitled to claim a range of supports from the Department of Social Protection under an EU protection directive. The majority of adults' applications for income supports here are being processed first as job seekers' allowance. That's until the most appropriate support has been identified. As soon as they're on job seekers for 50 days, they're added then to the live register. That means Ukrainians who are being counted on the list today have been here at least about 6 weeks. Despite that, three quarters of those on the register are Irish, and close to half are in the 25 to 34 or 35 to 44 age groups. The region that saw the largest June to July increase was the south, with just over 4,000 additional people counted.
A Glenties councillor says while Donegal has received the largest amount of funding in the country from this year's LAS Road Improvement Scheme, the amount is simply not enough. Over €1.7 million has been allocated to Donegal under the 2022 LAS scheme. That's the figure that's largest in the country. It's up just over €1 million on last year. Nationally, €22 million has been allocated. That's again double last year's figure. However, Councillor Micheál Cullum-Glasbeck says despite the increased funding, we're still nowhere near addressing the need that exists in Donegal.
Donegal would have the longest road network throughout the whole 26 counties. So it's really important that we do get the higher sum in terms of per mileage or kilometres. But the reality is, if you take all the applications that Donegal County Council has received since 2017 and add it up on the slow pace of money that we are receiving from Dublin, it will take us at least 30 plus years to fix all the roads that are there. So we're not getting proper, adequate money to invest into non-county roads. These roads are to people's homes. People are struggling, as we know. People are finding it very difficult to put food on the table, to heat their homes. Cars that are up and down roads that aren't passable, some of them, and actually causing more financial burden on families by having to take them to the garage constantly. So it's not working what they're doing. And they can sell this as a good story because of the amount of money that's been sent to Donegal, taxpayers' money. But the reality is, it is not even going to be a spit in the ocean of what we actually need. I got Thomas Pringle, and I thank Thomas for this, to raise this with the minister only a couple of weeks ago, that the terms and conditions of applying for LIS must change because it's far too strict and it doesn't suit the community that I represent in West Donegal, because unfortunately most young people have been forced to the four corners of the world due to the government's economic policy, and it's left us that hardly anybody is farming anymore, and it's become far too strict and far too difficult to apply for this funding.
Councillor Micheál Colum-Glasbeg. A local councillor in Donegal is urging energy companies to stop price gouging by continually raising their prices to chase profits. Councillor Michael McClafferty says this type of economic action from energy companies is reminiscent of the end of the Celtic Tiger at a time where many people were left struggling. He's urging providers to stop chasing profits in the face of a cost of living crisis.
On one hand, we started off there late on Friday night, early Saturday morning, about electricity going to go up 24%. Almost immediate effect, and then going up 19% again next month. There's no justification for this, for example. And then we fast forward then to Sunday night, then later Sunday night, then early Monday morning, we hear then about scarcity of electricity and possible outages and so on. I know that's been talked about before in the past, this last recent months, but to me it's all building up to a perfect storm of basically them just trying to justify, these energy companies justifying why they're putting up prices. There's nothing else going wrong here, Daniel, in my personal opinion, other than greed. And I say it's greed because the reason I say it's greed is nothing has changed in the country. We haven't built any more buildings. We haven't done any more estates or such. Nothing has changed to put any power pressure on the grid. But I just believe at the minute now, it's just we're back down the same road again, if not actually worse than the word at the time of the Celtic Tiger, and people's getting carried away, the energy companies are getting carried away.
Part of the reason why these price gouging accusations are being made is that fossil fuel companies especially have been making record-breaking profits in the face of an energy crisis. So would you be in favour of a sort of windfall tax to try and perhaps control these prices?
It's a possibility, Daniel, yes. It is a genuine possibility that could help things, could alleviate things, but it's only going to help or alleviate things if the people on the ground see it in their pocket as such. It's one thing taxing energy companies and so on, but it's another thing then taxing them and the people on the ground not seeing the difference.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Daniel Brennan.
Evening, Donal. Manchester United are close to signing Adrian Rabiot from Juventus. The French midfielder has fallen out of favour with the Turin Giants and has entered the final year of his contract. United have agreed to an €18 million fee for the 27-year-old former World Cup winner, but still have to discuss personal terms with Rabiot's mother and agent, Veronique. Timo Werner is to undergo a medical tomorrow ahead of a return to RB Leipzig. The German forward is signing a permanent deal at the club he left for Chelsea 2 years ago for €58 million. Meanwhile, Leipzig have also beaten Manchester United to the signing of Salzburg's Benjamin Sesko. The Slovenian forward will join the German Bundesliga club in the summer of 2023. Elsewhere, Connor Cody has completed a medical at Everton ahead of a move from Wolves. The 29-year-old will sign a loan deal with an option for the Goodison Park club to make the deal permanent. Also, Nottingham Forest are seeking to have Harry Arter's contract terminated. The Republic of Ireland midfielder earned an extension and pay rise by virtue of Forest's promotion. That's despite Arter spending last season out on loan. Forrest are in talks with the 32-year-old to extricate him from his deal and continue his career elsewhere. Looking to the League of Ireland, and Jack Byrne is back in contention for the second leg of Shamrock Rovers' Europa League qualifier away to Scroope tomorrow night. The Republic of Ireland midfielder returns following a hip flexor problem. However, Chris McCann will miss the second leg in Skopje with a calf injury. Rovers are taking a 2-1 first leg lead to the North Macedonian capital tomorrow. Two Gaelic games, and Buncrana got off to a winning start in the Donegal Intermediate Football Championship with a 112-9 points victory away to Convoy yesterday afternoon. Meanwhile, in the Junior Championship, it finished Carndonagh 113, Narossa 2-9. In the Ladies' Championship here in the county, St Union's were 5-4 to 2-6 victors over Maville in the Senior Championship. Elsewhere in the Intermediate Championship, it was St Mary's of Convoy 6 points, Arua Ballyshannon 2-14. Ardra were 6 goals and 5 points winners over Milford, who scored 3 goals and 10 points. In Group 2, it was Carndonagh 1-7, Fanna Gaels 4-10, Nivura Uchtan Narossa 4-19, Robert Emmerts 3-8. In the Junior A Championship, in Group 1, it was Glen Swilly 4 points, Neve Columba 6 goals and 8 points. And in the Junior B Group 1, it was Letterkenny Gaels 8 points, Sean McCool's 2-18. To golf, and the PGA Tour say they'll suffer irreparable reputational damage if they're forced to include LIV Golf signees. The Tour is challenging an antitrust lawsuit brought by 11 players suspended after they signed up to the Saudi-funded series. The PGA Tour says LIV is a naked attempt to sportswash Saudi Arabia's deplorable human rights record. And finally this evening, Leona Maguire has cracked the top 20 in the Women's Golf World Rankings. The Cavan golfer finished with a tie for fourth at the Women's Open in Murrayfield. That result has seen Maguire leap 5 places from 22nd to 17th in the world. And that's your sport, Donal. We'll have more tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much indeed, Daniel. And don't forget, by the way, the DL debate with Brendan Devaney is on this evening after the 7 o'clock news, looking back over the weekend's GAA action with expert analysis and lots of great chat on that. So Brendan's here with the DL debate just after the news at 7. A Donegal-based traveller who recently took part in a BBC documentary on mental health problems within his community says the comments under a BBC Twitter post about the programme show the extent of racism that still exists. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, David Friel said if the comments had been directed toward any other community, it's questionable whether they would have been left on the post. He told Greg Hughes the experience reinforced his belief that racism against the travelling community is the last acceptable form of racism in Ireland.
I did the programme with the BBC and it was quite an eloquent and very kind of thought-provoking and emotionally led kind of programme, talking about my experiences as a traveller and man in Donegal in terms of mental health. And, you know, when we were going through the issues, I was talking about, you know, racism and discrimination and the embedded prejudices in Irish society against travellers. Going through the Twitter platform shortly after, and I was reading through the comments, and it was just completely reflective of the, it just reinforced and actually proved the discriminatory and racist attitudes, the kind of attitude towards the general population towards travellers, which is kind of historically situated. I think it has been perpetuated throughout the years in terms of the last acceptable form of racism on the island of Ireland. Now, that's not creating a hierarchy between us and the black community in terms of who faces worse racism or discrimination, but what would be kind of evident is it's much more acceptable. And that's why, you know, Minister Helen McEntee is kind of working on the criminal justice or the hate crime bill and kind of, you know, reimagining it. But it needs to be implemented. It needs to have really kind of strong provisions against hate speech, like you've seen there, that kind of individual racism against travellers. And it personally affects you, Greg, you know, in terms of yourself and your identity and your ethnicity, because regardless of what kind of resilience you have or what kind of position that you're in, you do internalise these negative connotations around your culture and ethnicity, you know. And I have a son, and to be very frankly honest, and this is terrible in 2022 that we're sitting saying this, but I'm generally scared for him growing up.
That was David Friel there speaking on the 9 till noon show. You can hear more from David on our website, highlandradio.com. A leading depression helpline is reporting an increase in callers whose mental health has been impacted by the cost of living crisis. Aware is looking for more volunteers for its support line, with demand increasing since the pandemic. Meanwhile, one young man who was hospitalised for depression has podcasted his experiences in the mental health services. Frank said he wanted to speak openly about it to help destigmatise mental health issues.
You know, if I lied about it and said, oh, I was in holidays or I was up the walls at work. So when we came back to the podcast, I came out and told the other lads in the podcast that I had been in St. Pat's and I'd been suicidal and I'd been going through a tough time and what I'd experienced, because also the people listening are mainly men between the ages of 20 and 45 and they're probably the most at risk of suicide.
Parents are spending thousands of euro every year to cover the cost of summer camps during the summer break. A new analysis shows parents with two teenage children could be forking out as much as 3,000 euro to cover the 12 weeks of summer holidays. With more, here's Mairead Cleary.
School's out, and while for many kids it means the start of a jam-packed summer with activities, holidays and fun days out, for parents it means forking out up to 3,000 euro for 3 months of summer camps for two teenagers. Parents of primary school children are paying slightly less at 2,000 euro, though the school break is shorter at 8 weeks long. Host of the Stretch Marks podcast, Sinead O'Moore, says reducing school holidays would relieve pressure on parents.
A lot of families requiring both parents to be in some form of employment. The school system is certainly set up that one parent is at those gates at 9 o'clock. Now, my employer wants me at my desk at 9 o'clock.
New figures from Revolut also show an increase in discretionary spending in Ireland. Mother of three and founder of the Irish budgeting Instagram page, Kaz Mooney, has these tips to manage extra costs.
I will put aside 10 euro every week. Some weeks we'll let that build up and we'll go somewhere. And then other weeks we'll just use that 10 euro and go and get ice creams.
The average cost of a week-long summer camp for two kids was 250 euro, according to this Irish Independent analysis.
And the upcoming heatwave gives Ireland an opportunity to promote itself as a top holiday destination. That's according to a business owner in the southeast who says they're hoping the sun will bring a bumper end to the tourist season. Business was slow for the hospitality sector in May and June because of the cost of living crisis, and companies are hoping to claw back their profits when temperatures hit the high 20s this week. Michael Garland is park manager of the Tremore Amusement and Leisure Park in County Waterford. He says the good weather provides a platform to show off Ireland in the best possible light.
This country is green. It's green for a reason. It gets wet winters and now we're getting warmer summers. So let's take that challenge and enjoy it. Let's embrace it. Let's not throw it away and say, oh, it's too hot. Come out to the seaside, enjoy yourself, have a great time. And that's what it needs to be about. We need to be a bit more self-promoting, as other countries do in Europe. We need to stand proud and say, Ireland is a great place to holiday. Let's get that message out there.
And looking at the weather forecast for this evening and into tonight, dry and rather warm with long spells of sunshine, hazy at times, light westerly or variable winds. Tonight it'll stay dry with clear spells, some mist and fog patches developing as the night progresses, lowest temperatures 10 to 12 degrees Celsius in light variable winds. Tomorrow Tuesday will be warm, dry and sunny with any lingering mist and fog patches soon clearing during the morning. Top temperatures tomorrow 20 to 23 degrees Celsius in light westerly or variable winds. And that's Highland Radio News. The main stories in brief this evening. A County Donegal man has died following a drowning incident in Greece. The man in his late 50s, originally from Lifford, was on a family holiday. The Department of Foreign Affairs is providing consular assistance to the man's family. Letterkenny University Hospital is advising that people presenting to the emergency department are currently experiencing very long waiting times. There were above average attendances at the weekend. 124 people were in the ED yesterday, 151 on Saturday. The hospital says they're also being affected by COVID-19 and that's causing severe pressure on bed availability. PAYE workers are being encouraged to see if they're entitled to a tax refund. And expats returning to Ireland are a major reason why more homes are being sold for over €1 million, 5 in Donegal in the first part of this year. Back with news again at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 8th of August. The death has taken place of Kathleen Desmond, née Canning, 22, of McGovern Park, Derry. Funeral from her home on Wednesday afternoon at 12:30 for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ardmore. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Mass can be viewed live via the church webcam. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Ark Recovery, Business Park, Bay Road, Derry. The death has taken place of Mary Levy, 3 New Houses, Termon, formerly of Tully Mountain, Remelton. Her remains will repose at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock to 7:45. Removal at 8 o'clock tomorrow evening to St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in Termon Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Catherine Harkin, née Conaghan, Drumminy, Letterkenny, formerly of Rathdonnell. Catherine's remains will repose at her late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed live on the parish Facebook page. Interment afterwards to Conwell Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Mary Foster Stewart, née Cole, Cawhill Park, Derry. A funeral service will take place on Wednesday afternoon in Monrair Presbyterian Church at 1:30, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations, if desired, in lieu of flowers to Marie Curie Cancer Care, care of Mrs. Joan Doherty, 20 Dunhue Park, Victoria Road, Londonderry. The house is private, please. The death has taken place of Jean McKelvey, Duhery. Her remains will repose at Madeline's Funeral Home in Dunloe this evening from 6, with rosary at 9, and again tomorrow from 5, with removal at 6:30 to St. Connell's Church, Duhery, for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Wednesday at 12 noon, followed by interment in the Old Cemetery. The death has taken place of Charlie McCafferty, Trentaboy, Drumkeen, and formerly of Strabane. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Drumkeen, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Anne Crawford, née Sweeney, Colin Kerry Keel, of 239 Rossuila, Old Town, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in St. Enan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with burial in Leck Cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on stunanscathedral.ie. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Con MacDade, funeral director. And the death has taken place of Moya Ellis, 103 Blue Cedars, Ballybuffet, formerly of Bishop Street, Derry. Her remains are reposing at McCool's Chapel of Rest, Ballybuffet. Removal from there this evening at 7:15, arriving at the Church of Mary Immaculate's Trinorder at 7 o'clock. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, with interment afterwards in the City Cemetery, Derry. Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.